Morning scriptures from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 32. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 32. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, of you little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased.
Good morning. Great to be with you this morning. Appreciate always the opportunity I have to visit with you and share with you. And Dave, I certainly appreciate the Bible class this morning. You did a great job. There's a fable that I have been familiar with for a long time. Let me share it with you. The fable says that when Jesus went back to heaven, he finished his work here on earth. He was crucified, and he ascended back to the Father. And when he ascended back to the Father, the first one he met was Michael the archangel. And Michael had some questions to ask him. He said, "Jesus, you left kind of early, didn't you?" Jesus said, "No, I finished my work." And Michael said, "Well, it seems as though your disciples were ill prepared for the work that was set before them." And Jesus said, "No, I trained them well. And they're ready to go to work." Well, have you really considered them? Have you really watched them? He says, "You struggled with their faith for a long time." He said, "No, they're prepared." "Well, what if they don't do what you want them to do?" And Jesus says, "I have no other choice." Jesus spent 3.5 years, 24/7 with the apostles to train them for their work. And when Jesus was about ready to ascend back to the Father, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, they still didn't understand. They still thought that he was going to establish his earthly kingdom, the kingdom of David, which demonstrates the fact that he had a lot of work yet to do. And it's interesting that the disciples weren't able to do their work until the Holy Spirit had entered their life and pretty much dominated their life. And all the work of the apostles were attributed to the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus did, from the time he was born, the time that he was able to pretty much discovered his own life, he spent training the apostles. And he had a lot of work to do. What do you think would have happened if the apostles would not have done their work? What do you think would have happened to the church if the apostles would have failed in their work? I suggest to you that the apostles would have failed miserably. And the church probably would not have succeeded. The ministry of Jesus is summed up in the training of the apostles. It was necessary for them to understand the whole aspect of the kingdom of heaven before they were able to accomplish their task. It was a great task. It was a great burden for them. And they spent the rest of their life trying to live up to the job, the task that the Lord gave them. The story that we read this morning was just part of that training that they endured. Jesus knew that the apostles needed to get into that boat. Jesus knew that they had to get away from the crowd. Jesus knew that the only way that they were going to prepare for their work is to endure the storm. And it's interesting that this passage says that Jesus made them get into the boat. Did Jesus know the storm was coming? Did Jesus know that these disciples would struggle with the storm? Did Jesus know that if he did not intercede in that storm, probably the disciples would have been drowned? Could you imagine what was in the Lord's mind when he made the disciples get into the boat? We often read this story and we assume that the story is summed up in Peter walking on the water. Well, let me suggest to you, that was not the main part of that story. That was not the main lesson the apostles were to learn. That was not the major activity of the Lord that day. There was a lot more involved in that event than Peter walking on the water. I know you would really marvel if you could walk on the water. If Jesus would allow or enable you to walk on the water, I think you would think that you were something very special. Why didn't the other apostles walk on the water? Someone said to me that you've got to give Peter credit, because at least he got out of the boat. The rest of the disciples did not get out of the boat. Peter walked on the water. He accomplished a great task. But he had a lot more to learn. Let me suggest to you, there are a number of things that I think we can assume from this story. Let me suggest to you that it proves to us that you simply do not accomplish the work of the Lord without a lot of struggle. To be able to get on the other side, the apostles were on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. This Sea of Galilee was about the same width as Lake Erie. And they needed to get from the east side to
the west side, near Capernaum, where their home would be. And the only way they could get there is cross the sea. And so therefore the disciples had to cross the sea. There are times in our life as a Christian that we have to cross the sea. We have to climb the highest mountain. Have to swim the widest sea. Have to endure the worst storm. We need to get to the other side. Let me suggest to you that probably the disciples were in danger with the crowd. When we join the crowd, we're in danger. You never can serve the Lord by joining the crowd. And so therefore the disciples needed to leave the crowd and get to the other side. And the only way they could do that is cross the sea. Let me suggest to you that it's never really, and understand what I'm about to say, it's never easy to live the Christian life. We have a formidable enemy. We have an enemy that has the power to distract us. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the crowd. And we end up betraying the Lord. Let me suggest to you that living the Christian life always requires sacrifice. Always require putting up with the impossible. I don't know if you've ever had to endure the world or not. I don't know whether you've ever really sacrificed for God. But most of us have. Most of us have given up earthly wealth. You know, Jesus talked to a young man that wanted to live a Christian life. And the young man gave up because he was unwilling to sacrifice his wealth. There are times that we need to sacrifice our wealth. We have the funds. We have the wealth. We have the prosperity to serve the Lord and to finance the church. But we're unwilling to do that because our wealth is more important to us than our faith. These disciples were on the sea and they were about to lose. And they seemed to be unwilling to make the sacrifice that was necessary for them to live a faithful life for the Lord. And that's important. All of us have that sacrifice to make. All of us are able to support the church. And we need to do that. Let me suggest to you that there are three things that I learned from this story. Number one, I learned that life as a Christian is not easy. Every day we are called to sacrifice. Every day we're told to share with the Lord. And God expects us. He could have, if he really wanted to, he could have financed the church by a miracle. He could have turned us loose. and not required us to sacrifice so much. But we are called to sacrifice. Living a Christian life for the disciples was not easy. They were on that sea and they were struggling. Number two, the Christian life is never won by avoiding the difficulty. All of us are faced with difficulty. And when we fail, okay, to suffer the difficulty, the church suffers. We're going through a serious dilemma right now in the church, throughout the country, throughout the world. And it seems as though the church has to sacrifice. It seems as though the church is put on the background. And people aren't giving the church the attention that it deserves. And so therefore, the church is suffering. It's never easy to be a Christian. Always we required sacrifice, aren't we? One kind of sacrifice or another. The church depends on us. And number three, we'll never win by standing still. I'm thinking of this congregation. I'm thinking about the future of this congregation. I suggest to you that this congregation will depend on all of us to move ahead, across the sea. The church needs us. Church needs sacrifice. And the church is never easy. But it was that way in the days of the apostles. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, the apostle is challenging Christians to stand up and take notice. To do the work that is necessary for the church to grow. The apostle says, when you should be able to bear the cross, to teach the gospel, you have need somebody teach you what would be the first principles of the gospel. And the church is not growing. The church is not maturing. Because you have not taught the gospel. Let me suggest to you that the church is always in need of good, honest people. Thirdly, to get on the other side of the situation, it takes contrary wind. You're never going to win the battle without a fight. It's going to take a struggle. You're going to have to work constantly to win the battle. I'm just trying to think of a basketball team. You know, we're watching the tournament right now. What would happen if those basketball players would not really, really try? What would happen if they would give up and just go through the motions? Let me suggest to you that if we would give up, go through the motion, we would never, never, never win, you see. Living a Christian life requires water, crossing the sea in a storm and be able to win the battle. Fourthly, without Jesus, there is very little hope on the sea. I wonder what these disciples would experience if they were on the sea and Jesus didn't show up. Let me suggest to you that I believe that these disciples would have died. The storm would have taken these disciples. And it would have defeated the work of Jesus. But isn't it amazing that Jesus showed up just at the right time? You notice that Jesus was there when they needed him. He was walking on the sea. But notice this. The disciples were more afraid when they saw Jesus than they were before. Why is that so? But you think about this for a minute. You take a person who is struggling with their faith. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Jesus is there on the battle. I have seen people who were struggling with their faith. And a Christian shows up and begins to work with them, and they're more afraid than they were before. It causes them anxiety. And it causes them to struggle. The disciples struggled when they saw Jesus. They were more afraid when they saw Jesus than they were before. My question is this. Why didn't they know Jesus? They had been with him for nearly 3 years. And Jesus had taught them every aspect of life. They should have known him. But they didn't. They didn't recognize him. Oh, I heard people say, well, it was a storm, and in a storm you don't see clearly, and I know all that. But the disciples should have known Jesus so clearly that they could have recognized him in the storm. But when they saw him, they were afraid. They didn't know what to expect. Okay? Then Peter, all of a sudden, got an idea that it was Jesus. And he began to talk to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, if this is really you, allow me to come on the water. Jesus says, come. And Peter begins to walk on the water. But it isn't long until he begins to doubt. He looks down and sees the waves at the bottom of his feet. And he loses his faith. And he begins to sink. Only to have Jesus to reach out and take him by the hand and lift him up. It's amazing to me that Jesus is always there. Jesus is ready to lift us up no matter what our situation may be. You can depend on Jesus. You can depend on his help. And he's going to lift you up. He's going to carry you to safety. Amazing. Why didn't the storm quit, stop, calm, when Jesus reached out and grabbed Peter's hand? Did you notice that Jesus reached out, took Peter's hand, picked him up, but the storm didn't stop. The storm didn't stop until they were in the boat. I see that very interesting. Jesus could have stopped the storm when they first saw him. Couldn't he? Jesus could have stopped the storm when he took Peter's hand. He did not stop the storm until they were both in the boat. Let me suggest to you, the boat was the church. Jesus is not going to stop the storm. And I hope I'm not reading more into this story than what should be there. But Jesus is not going to stop the storm until they're in the boat. Jesus knew that boat wasn't strong enough to endure the storm. Jesus knew that there was no safety in that boat until he got there. When he stepped into that boat, things completely changed. Let me suggest to you, I believe that Jesus is teaching the disciples that the church is safety. When we are in the church, we have safety, we have salvation, we have security. And so Jesus now is teaching the disciples that there is safety, there is security in the boat. And he doesn't give them any safety until they're in that boat. Interesting. We need to be in the boat, folks. And if we're not in the boat, we have no safety whatsoever. I have been asked to preach a funeral this week. That's my task every once in a while. I'm so thankful that this brother has been in the church. Been in the church for a number of years. I can have peace. I can have security for this brother because he's in the boat. Notice also, what does the disciples do when Jesus gets in the boat? I think it's very interesting that these disciples worship. They find it very convenient, very easy, and very attractive to worship when they're in a boat. I think that's interesting. Why do people not enjoy worship? What is there about worship that people enjoy? Let me suggest to you that worship is not just something that we do random. Worship is something we plan. Worship is something that we purpose. Worship is something that is normal when we are in the boat. People don't enjoy worship out the boat. If we're not in the boat, we find it very, very burdensome to worship. But when we're in the boat, And when we're able to enjoy the fellowship in the boat, we enjoy worship. It's normal. It's natural. We enjoy being in worship. When Jesus and Peter got into the boat, immediately the disciples began to worship. And they were successful. Success comes in the boat. And when we're in the boat, we have success. And we're able to get where we want to get. Do you find it interesting that when Peter and Jesus got in the boat, they were on the other side? They were successful. That can only happen in the boat. That can only happen when we are worshiping God in the boat. Now, what's the story? What do we learn from this story? Let me suggest to you that we learn to worship. We learn what security is. We learn what the presence of Jesus is. We're able to learn what life is all about. These disciples learned what Jesus had in mind for our life. Jesus is going to leave the earth soon. And the disciples needed to learn what security is all about. They didn't have it at that time. They had a lot of questions. But they learned what worship is all about. They learned what His presence was all about. They learned what purpose was all about. And from that time on, they pretty much relied on worship. Now, my story is this morning. If you want security, if you want the presence of Jesus, if you want eternity, you need to be in the boat. And when we're in the boat, we have security. What a great blessing. What a great honor. What a great benefit we have. We're able to get in the boat. You're able to be in the boat. You're able to worship. And you're able to have the presence of Jesus only in the boat. And so we give you the presence every Sunday. Every day, really. That we can help you secure the boat. We can help you make sure of your eternal salvation. And so this morning, if we can secure you of your salvation this morning, we invite you to come. We invite you to secure your salvation. We invite you to make absolutely sure that your salvation is clear. And we want to honor you with that presence. And if we can do that in any way, we want to please you. We want to honor you with the presence of Jesus. And if we can help you in any way, come right now. Well, together we stand and sing.